Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode 182. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. How are you guys doing?
Hello. Good. I am just about done with being sore. For those of you who don't know, I ran the LA Marathon on Sunday.
Yes.
And I did not do my regular ice bath like I usually do. So I was pretty sore the next day. So I'm never going to skip it again, but it was cold and I was cold when, and it was wet and rainy. And the last thing I wanted to do was come home and get into a bathtub full of ice. So I skipped it, but I regret it. Holy.
Oh my gosh.
Because it really does help. So I am doing pretty good.
Yeah. That's insane. I was seeing all your posts on every mile marker and I was like, oh my God, just... When I saw, I think, marker 8, I was just like, I'm done. This is too much for me. And I was just refreshing my newsfeed on Facebook. But that was really amazing. But man, I'm just like, what the hell? How did she do that? That was just nuts. And for some reason in my head, I thought running all those miles was going to be like an entire day of running. And that just was like crazy to me. But no, it turns out it was just until like 1:30 or something in the afternoon. So, but that was really cool.
Yeah. Well, for some people, it was an entire day. I finished in 6 hours and 41 minutes.
Oh my God, 6 hours.
Fuck. Whereas the winner finished like in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow. Oh my
God. That's nuts.
That is
so crazy. Yeah. But that's pretty freaking cool, man. That's really awesome. So congratulations.
Thank you. And what did you do this weekend, Sarah? You did something equally as amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had the best time ever. I went to the Latinx Comic Arts Festival in Modesto, California. It was the most amazing time. Seeing everybody again just was amazing. This was the first convention I attended for the year. The very first one, and it was like the best. I always say this is one of my favorite events, but this weekend just proves it is my most favorite event. So I just was like around a lot of wonderful creative people, a lot of like hardworking people, all the volunteers, all the people that were doing their volunteer work with Dr. Teresa Rojas. They were super amazing, super helpful. I got to see Lucero again. She's just such a beautiful, beautiful person. And Dr. Teresa Rojas, she's just always amazing. She's just like, I call her our unicorn because she's just so like amazing and incredible. And she puts on an amazing show. They presented the very first Aldamas Awards for students. And that was really great. It was just overall amazing. I got to see a lot of people. I got to meet a lot of new people, but I also saw a lot of familiar faces. I got to talk to a lot of people. And then Dr. Teresa Rojas took us all out to dinner, and that we got a chance to just sit and just talk amongst each other because, you know, during the convention, like we're trying to talk to the audience and the attendees. And so sometimes we don't even get to go outside and watch the lowrider show, but it was just really amazing. Shout out to the birria quesadilla, cheese bread. It was so good.
What?
Yes. Cheese bread?
Yes. And he was a new vendor to the location. So it was really just, note to self, get one for two people because it's huge. And so, but it was so delicious. It was just really delicious. And they had aguas frescas too. It's just an amazing treat. Friday was really great. You got to like talk with the vendors, and on Saturday was just like full steam ahead. A lot of attendees, the most attendees in the arts festival history. So
that's awesome.
I think it's only going to get bigger from here. So tell all your friends, artists, comic book creatives that this should be an event for people to actually aspire to attend. So that's what I did. And I just had the most wonderful time. And my husband got to attend his first convention the whole day as a helper. And man, he took some naps in the car. And I was like, man, You can't hang. You can't hang.
Incredible. He finally knows what it is that you do at convention.
Yes, exactly. I mean, sometimes we would start a conversation and I would leave him mid-sentence to talk and give attendees our spiel, you know, we're Comadres y Comics and stuff like that. But it was just really fantastic. I really had the most wonderful time. And I'm really sorry you guys missed it, but it was just so great. I can't contain my excitement. It was just really amazing.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it too.
Another note, I must say that the bars all close and breweries close at 11. So prepare for that.
Central California. Well, for me, I have already shared the date of next year's marathon. I told Teresa, do with that information what you will, but please try to schedule around it.
Incredible.
You know what the cutest thing was is like the very last day when we were packing up. And I went to the restroom really quick because, you know, you're packy and you want to make sure you kind of like are not wanting to go to the restroom. So I went to the restroom and on the one of the stalls, there was this little kid, and I think it was a little boy. He said, "Best day of my life." And I just thought that was the best critique of the whole event, you know. So I just thought that was so endearing.
Oh, that's cool. And what have you been up to, Jen?
Well, I have been deep in the trenches of academia. The Steinbeck Conference has launched at the library. And since my professor is one of the people in charge of basically executing that and like hosting it for all of these very professional people. And one of our assignments was actually to create a poster for the center that all the professionals are going to be looking at, which, you know, this is like very preeminent. Like we have like doctors and like professors from like UPenn and stuff like that, and like from Oxford, and they're like coming in to like talk about John Steinbeck and his lives and works and how they have been related to it. And even like some of the people who were talking were like their professors who met John Steinbeck towards the end of his he passed away, I think, in 1970, I want to say. And so they are just like they were sharing stories about like Steinbeck and about like the people that were around him. It was all like incredibly cool and exciting. And I was just like, I just felt very valid as a scholar because I was able to keep up with the conversations that a lot of the professors were having. Cause they were all there. Like they didn't know I was a student.
Oh, cool.
Not until they would ask me. So like, are you speaking? And I was just like, oh no, I'm not speaking. I'm a student in Professor Rivers' class, and they're like, "Oh, okay, so you are like the person that we make read our paper." I'm like, "Yes, yes, I am." But it was all incredibly like interesting. Like there is like we had some professors like zooming in from Japan, from India, from Slovenia. They were excited to talk about like their papers and stuff like that and their like presentations. And this is one I know, like, I'm nerd, geek, whatever. I'm just a student, a person of the deep into academia, because I was just like, this is so cool. And I'm just like, who says that? because the average person knows what, Of Mice and Men and The Red Pony, maybe Grips of Wrath. Mm-hmm. And they're not like, oh, this is probably like, this is like the worst or whatever. And I'm over here like, yes, please tell me more about deep time and consciousness. I want to know
more. I'm trying to imagine what it's like to have your entire life and life's work be revolving around another human being's life and life's work, and just be so enmeshed in that. It's just like really interesting to me when there are like noted, like, what do you call them? They're the utmost academic go-to person for John Steinbeck. It's just really like they're the professional, they're the expert on this man and his works. It's just really interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And also like just the interpersonal interactions between a lot of them, because you can tell like some people like especially like some of the younger like professors, or not even professors, just doctors, and like because they're like either in graduate or like they're doing their dissertation, and their dissertation is going to be presented at the conference over the next couple of days. And they're just a lot that like, it's really funny. I saw someone says like, yeah, like I'm so happy to meet you. I use your books as reference materials, and like you can see them like geeking out. And then the like older professors are just like, oh yeah, like, of course you would use my work. It was a lot of fun, and we had a lot of interesting conversations, and I'm just so happy that I was able to keep up with the talks and like have like thoughts and feelings and stuff like that. So it was good. I feel smart. I feel like I deserve to be smart.
Well, it sounds like we all had an amazing weekend. Yes.
That's right. All right, guys, now it's time for Chisme de la Semana, and Kristen, you have some interesting chisme for us.
Okay, so I read something very briefly on the internet the other day about Zachary Levi saying some sort of something about how it's just so sad that the DC fans don't like him. And so I was trying to find out information about what he actually said, and I Googled it, and instead I found better chisme. So I don't know why he said that or why he thinks that DC fans don't like him. But what I did find is that apparently Zachary Levi and Dwayne Johnson have some beef. I'm not sure why, but apparently Zachary came out on social media and shared a screenshot on an Instagram story of a report that Dwayne Johnson both refused to let Shazam make a post-credits cameo in Black Adam and blocked the Justice Society of America's cameo appearance in Shazam, Fury of the Gods. So according to Hollywood Reporter, the director, David Sandberg, has said that the scene fell apart 3 days before we were going to roll cameras, forcing him to find alternate characters last minute. Levi's screenshot of the report was accompanied by the caption, "The truth shall set you free." So, apparently, it's also been reported that Johnson has turned down the opportunity for Black Adam to be introduced in the first Shazam film, saying he wanted to give both characters their own movie to have their time to develop. And of course, this was before the film revealed the Superman reintroduction, which had been Johnson's goal. Levi has not elaborated on his posting. And while his recent film has underperformed, womp, 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 Levi attributes it to poor marketing. Oh, that's sad when you have to come out and say that your big two superhero movie is not performing well because of marketing. Like, okay, come on now.
Aw, womp, womp. Kind of sad. But I'm so salty about that freaking Superman cameo end credit scene, because he's not going to be our Superman for the following from here on out. So it made absolutely no sense at that point.
Yeah, that's one thing that DC really screws up on. And I'm really hoping that James Gunn comes in and fixes all that. Like, that's one reason why I'm so just meh about DC films, and I'm hoping that that all changes, because I'm actually starting to enjoy some of the comics. I'm a bigger Marvel reader and Marvel fan than I am DC, but in the most recent year, I think I've really been coming around to enjoying the storylines and the characters in DC a lot more than I used to, and I'd love to be able to see that translated onto the screen. In a way that makes sense to people who know these characters from the source material.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Well, there's more sad news in our Chisme segment today. Willow, the live action original series based on the 1988 fantasy directed by Ron Howard, has been canceled after one season on Disney+. That's really unfortunate, because I actually like Willow. But I don't know how I've, and you know what? It just was, I don't think it was marketed. Oops, I said that. It was
okay, Zachary.
but I completely forgot that it was, the season one was up on Disney Plus. I totally spaced on it. So I didn't even see season one.
I mean, you have a point there, Sarah, because until you just mentioned it 5 seconds ago, I had no idea that Willow was on Disney streaming.
No.
When you said Willow, I thought you were talking about Willow Smith, the musician, and then you clarified, and I was just all like, oh,
and you know, okay. That's actually a good point because, okay, you and I know Willow, Sarah, because we were younger when that show, when that movie came out. Freaking Tom Cruise was the...
I've seen the movie too.
But you weren't even born when it came out.
That's true.
It was Val Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer. Yeah, not Tom Cruise. What am I thinking about with Tom Cruise?
Legend.
Yes. Some Top Gun actor. yes, Val Kilmer. Back when you could still recognize it was Val Kilmer. And I remember it coming out. For some reason, the main scene that I remember is them sliding down a snow hill for some reason. I don't know why I remember that. But there is nothing about that movie that makes me think that in 2023 or 2022, a TV show needed to be made for it and put on Disney Plus. There is nothing. Like, I get so frustrated when people mine product from decades ago that wasn't even that good to begin with and then try to repackage and repurpose it for people who aren't even watching Disney Plus, I guess. I mean, I guess I do sometimes with Marvel, but like, I don't know. I put us in charge.
Now it's time for On My Radar. And on my radar, guys, is you guys remember The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
yes.
The show that was on, I think, Channel 5 with Will Smith. They're doing a reimagining of it called Bel-Air, and it's mostly a drama. It's not like a kind of comedy show or sitcom. And the reason it's on my radar is because it's on its second season on Peacock. And the actress that played Ashley Banks in the original series, her name is Tanya Marisol Ali. She is cast as Mrs. Hughes. She is actually a teacher for the now cast Ashley Banks in the show. I know it's a little confusing. So old Ashley Banks from the old show now is Mrs. Hughes, and she is one of the new Ashley Banks teacher.
Got it. In the TV show, and she plays
in
a teacher.
In the TV show, Bel-Air, she plays a teacher. And it's really exciting to see her, like, she's all grown up and stuff, and I like really the way this show is, the direction it's going in. So I really wanted to highlight that right now season 2 of Bel-Air is streaming on Peacock. I think so far they have 5 episodes out. So check that out. That is on my radar.
Cool.
What is on your radar, Kristen?
So on my radar this week is a book by Scout Comics called We Wicked Ones. And I thought maybe you would be interested to know, Sarah, that it has an amazing David Mack cover. He's not the interior artist, but the cover is for number one is his art, and it's really, really beautiful. It is a story in a time about a woman called Celia. She has been orphaned in a mass witch burning orchestrated by the U.S. government. So this book is taking place in a world where witches exist. But they're obviously, just as the government likes to do, they're trying to take control, and they don't like other people having more power than they do. So they literally just perform genocide on all of these witches. So Celia grew up to be Washington, D.C.'s darkest secret. She's now wreaking havoc as the city's resident witch and its most sought after contract killer.
Oh, shoot.
When a politician hires her to kill a beloved and powerful superhero, Celia hesitates, but not for long. No one has been able to catch her yet. Why would they now? This is featuring, just what I mentioned, a breathtaking cover by world-renowned artist David Mack. And I did read the first episode first, not episode five, in the first issue. And it was really good. I really enjoyed the way that the writers were taking the idea of witches, lots of children who were left over from witches who were killed. Their parents were killed. They're left over. The government is trying to basically control them, but this woman is like doing it on her own terms and is basically using her powers to kill, people for money. And, she portrays herself as being someone who is like uncaring and doesn't have feelings, but this particular issue does share a little bit of her backstory and a little bit of some of her private life. And I really just enjoyed it. It's the first issue, and there are going to be, actually, it doesn't say here how many issues there's going to be, but it is a limited series by Scout Comics. And Scout has actually been coming out with a lot of good stuff recently. So when I saw this one, it really caught my eye, and the story was interesting to me. And the first issue definitely did its job in making me want to continue to read more.
That sounds really amazing. And you had me at David Mack, so I'm very excited for this. All right, guys, it's that time again. It's la hora de la cervecita. And I swear I'm going to change that name to Beer Goddesses or something. But what are we drinking today, girls?
I don't know how to pronounce this. Benedictiner. Benedictiner Hell. It is a Hell's Lager beer, Bavarian style lager. And I don't have the light on in my. I have to turn my phone light on.
It's from.
Oh, this is in a different. It's German.
German. It's a German beer. Uh-huh. It's from the brewery. Okay, you know, guys, I can't pronounce anything. Kloster Bavarier. Et al. Kloster Bavarier et al.
Sorry, I can't do European.
Yes.
Like, all I know is that put some marbles in your mouth and then try saying it. You'll probably get it right.
Where are you even seeing where that is? Is it on the can?
No, I actually Googled it and then I got Beer Advocate. It's a beer from Germany and it is Kloster Brewery et al. That's the brewery, and it's a Hell style. It's a 5%, and it is a German beer, but you could actually get this in wine, total wine. What is it called?
Total Wine and More?
Yes, Total Wine and More. I saw it for sale there. I actually bought this beer when they were closing down the marketplace portion of Alpine Village.
So that makes sense. Okay, so it's a lager.
Yes, and I got it as a lager because you know how I feel about lagers. I don't like them.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? We are a beer review podcast as well as a comics podcast. So I feel that I should give lagers a fair chance wherever I get to see something that's interesting. And because they were closing down Alpine Village, I thought it'd be really nice kind of tribute to Alpine Village. Where so many Oktoberfests were had.
Oh, I never went to one. Oh my God. I have been with Eddie for almost 20 years, maybe more than 20 years. I think it's 21 years. And every single one of them, I am not lying. I'm like, we're going to go to Oktoberfest this year. And then we never did. I even one year was like training for my Stein contest.
Oh no, really?
But I never made it, and now it no longer exists. See, let that be a lesson to you, children. Do not put off your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Your dreams. I love it. So, yes, actually, I just had like the first three sips, and I'm really enjoying this. I like the crispiness of it, and it's a tiny bit sweet, but it's super light, super light. Like, I feel like I could have a Broschester sausage with it. help me out. What's it called?
A bratwurst?
Bratwurst. Oh my God. That was way off.
Some bangers and mash.
So what do you guys think of it so far?
So first of all, I didn't know Stella Artois came in tall cans. this story is related to this beer we're drinking right now. But that is what I drank after the marathon. Oh. My friend had a ice chest in the back of their car and asked me what I wanted to drink. And I was like, do something light, because after a marathon, I don't want to put no IPA in my tummy. So they pick Stella, and it comes in a tall can. And tell me why I feel dirty when I drink beer out of tall cans. Like, I feel so like Trailer Park or something.
Yes! And this, oh my God, you said it, yeah.
This beer we're drinking right now is in a tall can.
Mm-hmm. That's why I poured it in there.
And it tastes like Stella.
It does, doesn't it? I think it's crispier, though. Yes. Like, I think Stella is a little bit heavier. But this one is definitely, you know what? This might turn my mind about lagers, honestly. Like, this is so crisp and with no, like, weird aftertaste. Not like, for instance, Corona or Tecate or stuff like that. Or, they're not, I say Budweiser Core.
The weird aftertaste of Corona and Modelo. Well, actually, I'll drink Modelo. But the weird aftertaste that you're tasting is the absence of flavor.
Well, I will toast to that. But this is really crisp. I like it. What about you, Jen?
I mean this in the nicest way possible, but this is the La Croix of beers.
And I don't feel offended by that at all. I think it's actually...
No, and I mean this in like, look, La Croix are actually good. I'm saying this, like, I like them. Like, and I only started liking them until... when we kept stocking them in Heidi Ho.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the few things. And then I realized, oh, these are actually kind of okay. Uh-huh. So this is it's water, but it's not water. Flavorful water.
It's flavorful water. It's
flavorful,
yeah.
Water. Yeah. It's water with the essence. The
yeah, that's what
the mist of beer.
That's what Yair and Javi used to say. La Croix was water with the essence of fruit flavor.
Yeah, like so they didn't incorporate the fruit in it. They like passed the fruit over the water until it all the vibes just went into the water. And I feel like this is what this is. They just grabbed like a bunch of like IPAs or something or other like stronger beers and just
ran it through a filter.
Passed it over water until
just ran it over it. And probably like rang bells in the background or something.
Yeah. But it's like good. It's like I could easily like drink this and keep drinking it. Like just like keep tossing them back. I don't like that it's in a tall can. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, what is it about that?
I think is it bigger than a tall can? It's 1 pint, so I think it's a little bit bigger.
It's 1.9 ounces.
Oh, okay, yes.
Anyways, so yeah, when I saw it, I was just like, Sarah, are you trying to tell me something? Do you like this is the blowjob beer. This is what this is.
What's a blowjob beer?
It's the, like, you give a girl, like, a bottle of beer, and then we're like, all right, I'm gonna give me a blowjob afterwards.
That's it.
That's what, I don't know what, don't ask me why.
That's a little sad.
Don't ask me why.
For just one beer?
I know, for just
first
one
of all, at least three, and then and it have to be 8% and above. Yeah.
So it's like, and here's the thing is that we're describing it, but it's just like, in the end, I do actually like it. Like I said, like,
yeah,
this is the La Croix beer. It's very drinkable. I think it's, if someone's a baby about drinking beer, you can give them this. And if they complain about flavor, just give up on them.
I like that.
At the end of the day, this is a lager, and it is a German or Bavarian style lager, and they definitely tend to be a lot, for me, a lot lighter. I actually think Stella is lighter than this. This to me does have some heft to it. The mouthfeel is pretty thick for me, and the flavor is there. for a lager. Like, I definitely would, I would drink this on tap for sure. I think that aerating through the tap might give it a little bit more body as well, and take away the dirty feeling I'm feeling right now with this big can. Maybe even if I would have poured it. I never pour my beers out when I'm here doing the podcast.
I feel a little bit better drinking it from the glass.
Yeah, I think that would have helped too. But again, just like Jen is saying, through all of this critique, I like it.
Yes. I do like, yeah, I do enjoy it. Like it's a beer that you want to have when you're like, I don't really want beer, but I want something with like alcohol with it, or like the essence of alcohol.
Well, it is a 5%. So it's actually not even, you know, it's not bad. 5%, especially in a tall can, probably at the end of drinking this big can, you'll feel a little like you've been drinking beer. But I definitely have enjoyed 5% beers and felt like it was worth it after one or two. So it's not bad. I really, I think I would definitely get this again. And I'm going to look for it on tap at any of, I don't know if I can find anywhere here that has German beer on tap, but maybe one day when I make it to Europe, I'll look for it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know what it also reminds me of? Like, very watered down apple cider.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. I guess, like someone like the apple, like apple cider, if it's been like left out, or if like someone like put ice cubes in it or something, and then at the end there's just like water and the apple cider all mixed together, and so you drink it and it's like not bad.
So just the mere mention and you putting that thought into my head, I tasted it. I took a drink and I tasted.
Yeah.
I tasted it. Yeah. Watered down apple cider.
So that is another thing. Like, what is, I mean, what are lagers made out of? I thought it was all wheat.
Well, I know. I think some of the lagers, like Mexican lagers, are like corn-based, whereas some of like,
I know Guatemalan ones are corn.
And then the Japanese are rice-based. I'm not exactly, I think wheat is like Budweiser and Coors. I believe
that's why they're bad.
So, well, a lager is basically the way that they're brewed. So it's a beer which has been brewed and conditioned at low temperature. That's what makes a lager a lager. They can be pale, amber, or dark. Pale lagers are most widely consumed and commercially available style of beer. So that's what, where you find your Coronas, your Bud Lights, your Modelos, your any Tocates, those are all pale lagers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the most commercially sold style of beer because they're drinkable, because they are like drinking an IPA, one beer, and you just feel heavy and logy and you don't want to do anything. And sometimes it makes your tummy hurt. But with lagers, you can drink them all day for the most part. Just ask any Mexican.
Yes, you can.
You could drink it while gardening, too.
You drink it for water content.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, hydrate. You could basically sweat it out.
Pretty much. But yeah, so I'm wondering if they use like apples or something, because that was literally one of the first things I tasted when I was like trying to find a flavor. I was just like, huh, this is vaguely like apple cidery.
I don't think so. I think it's just the mixture of their hops and, or their, what are they called? Their wheat and whatever other things they use for flavor. I'm trying to look to see.
Yeah, because if they used fruit, then it would just be a cider.
Yeah. So the term lager comes from the German word for storage. This beer was stored before drinking, traditionally in the same cool caves as it was fermented. So there is some German beer history for you.
Interesting. Well, are we ready to rate it?
Yes. What is our rating scale, Kristen?
So we're on a 5-point scale where one is very unsatisfied with a really mad, mean, sad face. And then two is unsatisfied with a whatever face. 3 is neutral, 4 is satisfied, and 5 is very satisfied. But on either end of our scale, we have a flaccid for a 0 out of 5 and a Super Saiyan, which is a 6 out of 5. So I'll go ahead and start, and I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I'm satisfied with this beer. I actually really like it. I would take this in a cooler to a get together event and be able to drink it and enjoy it all day.
Yeah, I'm gonna double that. Also, this is Sarah. I do not like lagers. I really don't at all. And this one wasn't unsatisfactory, and it was actually crisp, and I enjoy it. And I think it would make a good Shandy companion.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh.
What about you, Jen?
Oh, sorry.
Jen's like, did I rate it already?
Yeah, I really was. Like, in my head, I had already given, like, my rating already. I'm going to give it a 3.5 because, like, I'm drinking it. Like, I like it. But it's not, like, super, like, even then, like, because, like, I'm just so, like, mid about it as well. Yeah. Like, I like it, but I don't, like it, or, like, super like it, or, like, love it. So I'm like, but it is, I mean, I am drinking it. I'm not, like, ugh, or anything like that. A 4. I'll give it a 4. There,
all right.
I'll be nice. 4
across the board.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And that has been our beer review. All right, guys. It's now time for our book review. What are we reviewing today, Kristen?
So today we are reviewing a webtoon. And I am trying to log into... I just had my webtoons open, and now, wouldn't you know, during the podcast, it's asking me to log in, and I'm like, I've never logged in the many years that I've had my my webtoons. But of course, when I need it, it's asking me to. So we are reading a comic on webtoons called Roll Out, and the way that this became on our radar, and actually shared it a couple of weeks ago on a Saludos, was that the creator of Rollout came to my table at the Phoenix convention that I was at, and had a lot of questions about being a creator, and was asking me questions because I was a retailer, and she was just really super nice. And her brother was there, and her brother was saying, yeah, my sister, like, talking her up. My sister's a creator and she has a comic. And then she came up and she started talking to me about it. And she's like, she even wrote us an email. If you haven't checked out Sarah or Jen in our email, she wrote us an email and said she had started listening, and that it was very cool meeting me, and that she was super excited to read the listen to the podcast. And she was like, I'm loving it. I appreciate the work you all are doing to create a space for fans to unite and discover more works. It's nice to hear you all geek out about the same things I care about, but also not disregard or ignore the issues that people with intersected identities might have, which forces a lot of people to have a weird cognitive dissonance when engaging in fandom. I'll be sure to recommend this podcast to everyone I know. So,
yay! Yeah.
Since she is recommending us, we are giving her the same, and are giving a review on her webtoon comic.
We have no option but to stan.
And it's called Roll Out. So the description says, the beginning of junior year could not be any better for Ravel. He has a chance to save the community roller rink and spend time with his crush, Charles. If only he could get rid of their crazy girlfriend first. So when she explained it to me, she said she had a lot of, and in fact, on the description, it says roll out, and then in parentheses, it says BL. And so for those of you who don't know, that stands for boy love. And she said she had a lot of, influenced a lot by manga. And so she reads a lot of manga, and she really enjoys that genre. So in manga. So that was kind of like what she modeled after her own comic. And in her in her email. She also says, it's my first work and I'm still a student. So I understand if it's not to your caliber yet. So I actually wanted, and her name is, her name on Webtoons is Saxviars. So if you wanted to look her up, that's Saxviars. But her real name is Varissa Washington. And so I just want to say, Varissa, that you are amazing. And I definitely think that you are up to caliber 100% of an amazing creator who both writes and draws her own comic. And you can actually see the evolution of her art and her writing from beginning to end. So there's quite a few episodes. And in Webtoons, episodes are just like small little parts. And I think there's 27 of them. So she started back in, what was it? She started, there's dates on these, in 2019. So she started writing in 2019, and then her last update was in February of this year. So for 25 episodes, it has been slow going. She is in college, I believe, for art and sequential art. So it is slow going, but I really enjoyed it. So I enjoyed the story a lot. We are following Ravel, who has a crush on Charles, and he has some friends. What I really enjoyed about the story too is that there was, and I think we said this about another book that we read recently, there was not a big deal about the mm-hmm. fact that Ravel liked boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they just accepted it.
Right. He hangs out with his friends Cash and Jerome. And Cash being short for Cashmere, which I thought was cute. And then,
Cashmere, I know.
And then they called Jay and short for Jerome. But there was only one. I mean, obviously, we can tell that he is he's queer. But Jerome, I think sometimes he has a little issue because I guess he just came out. So he's like, sometimes my whole view of you has changed. But that's kind of it, because he's still like hardcore mm-hmm. friend, and they're always hanging out and everything. It's just sometimes I think it slips up when he's like, oh, there's these really cute girls, and he's like, hello, and he's like, oh, more for me then, you know, kind of thing. But yeah. He doesn't say it in a bad way, and I know that Ravel isn't, or Ray isn't taking it bad. He's just like trying to constantly remind him, like, hey, remember, I'm gay, mm-hmm. kind of yeah. thing. So, but I think it's cute that they don't over gloss over that, and there's no kind of strife. They're really accepting. I love that about them. I really, you know, and you, like you said, there's an evolution of the artwork as well as her writing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of little stories and little kind of things that are going to resurface as yes. time goes on. Like, we're going to know more about Charles's past, because he is living in like a foster home.
Right.
With other kids. And that's where he is. Meets JC, and JC obviously has a crush on Charles, but I don't think Charles is comfortable enough, because he just moved into this foster home, comfortable enough to let everybody know that he is not straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so this girl JC, she's just completely like, just, he's quiet, and he's trying to go back to where he's came from, but he's stuck in this foster home, and he, you know, he's forced to kind of start the school year here. Because something's going on with finding, I believe, his parents, so, or his family or something. We still don't know. Okay, that's the thing. We still don't know. But JC is just kind of just like really kind of obnoxious girl who kind of sets her sights on him. And it's really apparent that he's like trying to ignore her without being too like confrontational, because she does live in the right. foster home with him. So there's that dynamic. There's a dynamic where Charles doesn't want to get too comfortable in the foster home. So he's kind of standoffish with all the foster kids, where they're trying to, like, you know, be okay with him. But you can see by, like, his struggles, he's trying to find a part-time job as well. He's 16, and he's trying to find you know, part-time job and stuff, and maybe even seeking help from his social worker to kind of live on his own. So he has all these things going on, but he also is attracted to Ravel, but they keep missing each other.
Yeah.
Whenever they're in a situation where they see each other from a distance, either Charles is wearing the wrong shirt and he doesn't want to see Ravel talk to him, or Ravel is being, this is another spoiler, there's kind of a love triangle. There's Andres, and he and Ravel had a thing in the summer, but then Andres kind of freaking ghosted him for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And but also we find out that Andres is not ready to be his true self. His true self.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really love was like the dialogue between these characters. Like there's this little part where Ravel is describing to his friends. He says, have you ever seen someone and your heart just dies a bit? I thought that was so freaking cute, because that's like so really beautiful. And then the discussion that Ravel has with Andres, and he's like, I want you to tell the truth to your friends so that you don't feel the need to treat any other guy you get with like that again. And I think that's fair. Like, you mm-hmm. know, maybe I still have a crush on you. Maybe I'm still attracted to you, but I'm not ready to be in that type of relationship where we have to hide. And I don't want to be treated like that. And I want you to learn your lesson, because whoever comes in your life, I don't want you to treat them like that either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like there's so many like stories going on behind that. And then, of course, the big story about the competition to save the roller rink, which I thought was that really tells, gives you an insight on how Ravel is like, he's dealing with his own stuff. And of course, he's stuck in this kind of love triangle, sort of. And also, he's also willing to do a lot for the community, because he says that that rink is like their second home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I really love the way all these characters are coming together. Even though I don't like JC, I think she's going to be like a real, there's going to be some kind of real like story development there. And I do see the manga influence in her artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the beginning, you know, like you could tell like she's beginning. And of course, when you begin a comic, you're like a little bit stressed to put out content. And not only that, you're like maybe suffering from imposter syndrome or whatever. But as it goes along, you could see like her kind of like growing as an artist and a storyteller. So I really, really like this.
Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to point out is that all of the characters that we're talking about, well, not JC, but Ravel and all his friends, they're all Black characters. And one of the things that she really wanted to convey to me when we were talking is that she wanted to address, to basically, make her story, her boy love story, make it accessible to people of color. And in fact, on the first episode, there is a picture of all three, Ravel and his two best friends. And it says, y'all, we Black and we on the map. And I think that perfectly encapsulates what she was trying to do with this comic, is that boy love can be for Black men too. And so I just really love that part of what she was trying to do and with her goals of creating this comic.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd also like to point out that when Charles was looking for a job, you know, they're like, oh, so your name is Charles Hernandez? Does that mean you speak Spanish? He's like, well, I'm learning. And they're like, okay, so that's a no. And I kind of like that because that's kind of the thing. Like when somebody on the street is like, oh, your name is like Hernandez. So you, and then they start speaking to you in Spanish and it's like, actually, no, I do not speak Spanish. Sorry. Like, and it almost like you could see like the sadness in their face, but it's not your fault. I mean, that just happens, you know, like yeah. Not everybody whose last name is Hernandez is going to speak Spanish, right. You know. And I think that's one of the cool things about this. And she also, like, there's a little thing where they're using TikTok to promote the roller rink competition, and so they're having Cash be like the one that does the TikTok dancing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Jerome, he's choreographing it. And Jerome's like, well, I can do it too. And he's like, no, we actually need the lighter skin one to do it.
Yeah.
He's like, man, that's racism. And he's like, actually, that's colorism. And it's also marketing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good discussion. I do like these, because this is something that I think a lot of like young people are like talking about, like especially with TikTok and how they like want to market themselves and stuff like that, which is like the fact that this is something like that teenagers are discussing, like, is so fucking crazy to me. But it is like, I like, you, if you like talk to any teenager and like what they do on TikTok, if they're somebody who posts or creates content, they're like, oh yeah, we do this. It's just like, I'm like, damn, that's fucking wild. But I really do, the progression of the artwork is, it is noticeable. And I think one, it's definitely, the more you do something, the easier it comes to you, and the more that you can experiment with style, or like really like just hammer out what kind of style that you're going for. I can definitely see the manga and BL influence in it as well. It's a very cute story. And I do like it, for how like cute it is, and the fact that it's like roller skating and stuff like that, especially because a lot of people don't think about roller skating, I want to say. I mean, usually, yeah. I think like skateboarding is still a thing.
It's a very retro thing.
Yeah, but it makes sense that it's coming back, because again, we were talking about this earlier, how about like Gen Z is like weirdly obsessed with like early
2000s. Oh yeah.
So like roller skating and like vinyls, and I'm not one to talk, I have a bunch of vinyls now too. And like Y2K fashion and stuff like that. But it's like, I think it's really nice, and I think they do a really good job with it. I wasn't able to read all the chapters available, but from what I saw, I really did enjoy what I was reading, and you could see the progression of art. I mean, the more comfortable you get, and not everybody has, like, I think a lot of people confuse like artwork and style with how close to realism that they can get and how that's professional, when that's absolutely mm-hmm. not the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have right. a chibi style and that still be professional. You can have like a very cartoonish, mm-hmm. cartoony, very simple design, and that's still like, that takes skill. Like, it honestly, like the like designing something that's simple yet cute, or like maybe like having something that's in a specific style, like the ones that I think that come to mind the most are like Courage the Cowardly Dog, and when that first came out, and even, or like The Simpsons when they first came out, people called that ugly. And is that no such
and
thing.
The progression of The Simpsons when they first came out to where they are now, complete
180. Same thing with like Courage the Cowardly Dog, and with any animation, even any early animation that you see, or like the first season and stuff like that of something, it's good. But then as the seasons continue, as more is made of it, it becomes smoother. And this is what we're seeing right now. So don't feel embarrassed about wherever, because, you know, we always encourage people, like, if you want something, or if you see something and you see a niche and no one else is making it, then you do it. You put it out there. And that is what mm-hmm. she has done. And I'm so, so happy that she has put this out there, because, like, or else I would have never picked something up like this, or like known about it on webtoons and stuff like that. So good on her for, or her, she, they. That she put this out, because it's really cute, and I really enjoyed what I did read.
There is a little note that she did lettering by herself in the beginning, and then she had a letterer, and then there was some kind of falling out, and she didn't letter anymore.
Welcome to the creative world.
I know. Welcome to the creative world. You can even tell the progression of that from when she did it, and then the other person did it, and then she did it again. And I just think that's what comic creation is all about. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. You're always learning. You're always evolving. You're always including the new things that you're learning, or maybe new styles, or ideas that you have. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Sarah. There's so many little stories in this webtoon that are developing and playing out, and the character development is happening through all of that. And I really got engrossed in it. And when I came to the end, I was like, no, that's not enough. You need to do more. And of course, I'm married to a creator, so I know that it's not that easy, and that she would probably be cussing us out to hear us say that, because she's like, I'm doing as fast as I can. But just know, Barissa, that you have people out there that are interested in your story and can see that you have put a lot of passion and heart into it. And I'm here for it, and I want to see more of it. And I wish you all of the time in the world to be able to get it out there.
Just wanted to correct that. It was her editor.
Oh, her editor.
Not letter.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I don't want to give anything away, but you guys should go out there and read it on Webtoons. But at the ending of this, what was it? The eighth episode, I think. Mm-hmm. Chapter 8 or something. Oh, my God. I was like, no, what have you done? Oh, I was like, I literally wrote, oh, no, like, no. I don't want to give away. I don't want to give it away. But it was like, oh, my God, she's really like, she left us in suspense. I thought that was really clever. Dude, I was like, he shot a shot, but he missed. Oh, no. and I really, you know what I really loved also? The scene where Ravel was talking to Andres, that one scene in itself was amazing, because not only was it really dynamic with the drawings of the characters, but also the placement of the dialogue bubbles was so impactful, because what she did is she put like the drawing of them, like they're, you know, they're kind of like their mood, you could see like the emotion in the art, but then you scroll down a little bit more and there was like really impactful dialogue bubbles that were like, oh my God, I could totally see this argument just happening in front of me, and then more art and then more dialogue bubbles, and I thought that was a really clever way to give us a lot of emotion without having to draw every single thing, you know. It was just like the dynamic dialogue bubbles were really like really hit you in the face, and you're like, oh, this is really heated. It was, I think, one of the most I thought it was one of the most important scenes for me while reading it up to where I read it to, because up to now we know that there's a connection between Charles and Ray, but we know that there was something with Andres, and that towards the end scene about them talking about that was just really like emotional, and just it was great. I thought you did an amazing job. Honestly, I was like, I want more of this. So
I think what a lot of people who read webtoons don't realize is that writing for webtoons takes a lot of planning. But just the same way that doing it for print does. But you are writing, the difference is you're writing for a vertical platform. And so your page layout is just one long strip, and you have to be able to tell a story in that way. And there is, I think, a lot to be said for somebody who can do that, as opposed to print platform, where for the most part you either have a splash page or you have six panels, and the person can see the whole page. Like it's really different, and I think actually pretty intense to be able to do that and plan everything out. So I give all webtoons creators props for being able to do that and be successful in telling their stories.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, they're more keeping the mobile format in mind, and I think that's really that does take skill. It's a different kind of skill set. And I think they did a really good, she did a really good job with it. So kudos to them.
All right, guys, I think we're ready to actually rate the book, the webtoon. But I'll go first, and this is Sarah, and I'm going to give it tres conchas. Kristen, can you explain our rating process?
Yes, yeah, so we rate our books, excuse me, our books slash comics on a 1 to 3 concha scale, with 3 conchas being the most conchas in one sitting that Jen's mom ever allowed her to eat. So that was the pinnacle of amazing. And so 1 to 3 is what we rate. And so, Sarah, you're giving it 3 conchas.
Yes, because I need to know what happens next. So Tres Conchas is like really great. And so like, I'm just excited to see what else you give us in the future. And don't feel rushed, but feel a little bit rushed. You left me with like, I want more. It was so amazing. Thank you.
So this is Kristen, and I'm also going to give it 3 conchas. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the development of the story as a whole with all of the little, like, I really thought that the storytelling and character development was very, very well thought out and planned. And each episode, chapter and then episode, but each chapter and episode always gave me more things that I didn't even realize I wanted in this story. And so I'm giving it 3 conchas. I also am looking, I am subscribed, so I will get the notification, and I can't wait to read what's coming with Rollout.
This is mostly on me because I wasn't able to read the whole thing. But I did read enough where I did enjoy it. I am going to give it 1 concha. But this is based on how far I went. You're still getting a concha. You got 6 other ones. You're fine. So you're still getting 1 from me. But I do want to read it. I want to keep reading it because I want to get to that 3 concha level that you guys were getting. So this is just me as someone who part 1 of the current story. And I did enjoy what I did read. I think it's a nice little tasty tidbit. So it's going to get 1 concha from me, but I fully, like, once I do catch up to it, I think I will be all for the 3 conchas for it. So that is my final say.
And I just want to share with the listeners, that Varissa's Instagram is SaxVRs, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, _comics. So that's SaxVirs. _comics on Webtoons. Her creator name is just SaxVRs, and then on Tumblr she is saxvrs.tumblr.com, and again that's SaxVirs.
And that has been our book review. All right, guys, now it's time for En la Librería. Jen, what do you have for us today?
So I debated about whether recommending this or not, but it's looks just so interesting. But it's called Unfuck Your Sex Toys, a no-brainer guide to making your own affordable safe sexual aids by Dr. Faith G. Harper, with drawings by River Katz.
Oh,
yes.
How do you make your own?
Well, this is going to tell you how. So the story that we have on here is, curious about expanding your pleasurable horizons? Harness the power of sex toys to take your sex life to the next level safely and with a DIY spirit. Sex toys can help you radically reinvent your sex life, whether you use them solo, partnered, or in group play. They can bring you to new heights of pleasure, teach you about your body, affirm your identity, and liberate you from physical or emotional constraint. But damn, they can be expensive if you buy them new.
Well, you're not. You're not going to buy them used.
Who's out there buying them used?
I don't know. I have a story about that, actually. There could be a secondhand market. Some people could be into that.
I found a butt plug on the counter, not the counter, on the shelves of a thrift store once. I am not lying.
Okay. Let me continue, please. Sexologist and therapist Dr. Faith is all about making sure you know how to get off safely and on a budget, and provides instructions for making a variety of do-it-yourself toys without going broke or hurting yourself. She discusses the different types of sexual aids out there, how to figure out what you like, and construction and use of various devices, focusing throughout on safety and hygiene. I'm 100% doing this like a telemarketer, by the way. These 19 projects can 19? Be done at home with materials wow. you probably already have. Rivercat's illustrations provide clarity, inspiration, and step-by-step instructions. If you're looking to add a little spice to your bedroom without dropping all your cash, this is the book for you. And we have, throughout this, there are pictures on the campaign page,
oh
by the
way. Oh my gosh. I am declaring right now that we buy this book and we start a new podcast making each of these 19 projects and trying them out ourselves.
We'll talk about this. But the cover page says, unfuck your sex toys, make your own DIY tools, and MacGyver your sexy times.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it has like DIY tingle oils.
Tingle oils?
Yeah, and like how to make your own ball gag.
Oh my gosh.
And then in the table of contents, they have like an introduction, who uses sex toys, the history of sex toys, types of sex toys, where to find sex toys and supplies. And part one is prepare to play. It comes at first with a safety first, and then clean your toys properly. Add use barrier methods, even with toys. Yes, they do recommend very important. You use condoms even. Yes. And consent and communication. And then household items. Items for restraint, items for flogging, spanking, or paddling, sensory items, insertables, and positioning support. Part two is make your own toys. First level, easy peasy. It includes homemade lube, DIY tingle oils, and easy nipple clamps.
Wow.
Towel stroker, chip can stroker. Wiffle ball gag.
Chip can stroker. I already know what that is.
I don't know. So we'll get back to that. Clothespin zipper. Loopy.
Yes,
gummy,
I'm here for that one.
Ice dildo.
Oh, an hell ice yeah. Dildo? Or you know what?
Bubble wrap dildo. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Duct tape bull whip. Mm-mm. Boot lace whip. DIY chastity cage. The second level is ready for some challenge. A PVC pipe spreader bars, rubber band flogger, blackjack cane, clit sucker, upcycled dildo underwear harness, sex wedge, and then we get to the conclusion, an appendix, and a sample consent contract.
Wow, there's things on that list that I would have never in a million years thought of doing myself.
So they're of the rewards. So Unfuck Your Sex Toys is going to be 128 pages. It's going to be a 5x7 paperback printed in black and white with a full color matte cover that is satisfying to hold as you read. It's also going to be available as an ebook. And you can also get it with something else. So you can get the book as well. There's an option to get Bang, which is revolutionize your masturbation with this book designed for people of all genders, sexualities, and abilities. Or you can get it with Making Stuff and Doing Things, which is a DIY directions for a wide array of different projects. This book can help you gain the skills you need to accomplish your goals, whatever they might be. So it's just a general DIY thing. I'm sorry, I'm just dying a little bit. There's Unfuck Your Consent, understand the history and practice of consent and learn new ways to respect autonomy and personal boundaries. Sex Without Roles, helpful advice for exploring your sexuality in a judgment-free way and without the constraints of gender norms. And then Go Fuck Yourself, repurpose dozens of household items into accessories and toys for kinky and fulfilling sex. and then sex from scratch. You build the sex life that works best for you and your partner with this guide to sex outside of cis heteropatriarchal norms. And then there's Unfuck Your Blowjobs. Learn how to give and receive incredible blowjobs with a little help from sexologist Dr. Faith G. Harper. And Unfuck Your Cunnilingus.
Yes.
did I say that right? I said it right. Learn to give and receive incredible cunnilingus with Dr. Faith G. Harper's tongue-twisting advice. And then there is... there's a lot. Like, I can't go through all of this. It's a lot. You're going to have to go and, like, look at yourself, what it is that you want to get. So you can always pledge without expecting a reward. You just want to show support. But the base pledge starts at $10, and it's just the ebook. And then at $14, you get the paperback. And then at $25, this is when you can get different variations of other books. And then it keeps on going up from there. You just have to go on the page and see what it is that you want to grab for yourself. It is has a goal of $5,000. It's currently at $3,460 with 89 backers and 14 days to go. So it's more than halfway to its goal. I want to say it's like two-thirds of the way there. It sounds hilarious, but also like actually like useful, because you know what, sex toys are expensive, like, and depending like on quality or like whether you want a cord or cordless or whatever, anyways, they can get expensive. So but if you want to experiment, I think this is a great way of experimenting, and while still keeping in mind to be like safe. And so don't just grab the nearest phallic or whole looking thing and then either shove it up in you or stick your dick in it. Think about safety.
Safety first.
Think about safety. Safety first. I know a hole is whole, but still.
So no cheese grater. Just kidding.
Cheese, I'm sorry, grater. What did you say to me?
I said no cheese grater.
Please don't use cheese graters.
Anyway, I thought this was amazing.
You say it, but I just know somebody that someone out there, there is a doctor or a nurse or some ER practitioner that has been scarred for life. But it is Unfuck Your Sex Toys on Kickstarter. And it's UNF and then a hashtag CK. So it's, you just don't put that on there. Or maybe you could put it as the full thing, but it is on Kickstarter. It is UNF hashtag CK your sex toys.
All right, guys, it's now time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
So it is that time of year where Tia Chuchas is going to have their big event that we have participated in for the last couple of years. And that event is Celebrating Words Festival. So in case you are not aware, Tia Chuchas is a nonprofit organization in Northeast San Fernando Valley. And their mission statement is to transform the Northeast San Fernando Valley community and beyond through ancestral knowledge, the arts, literacy, and creative engagement. So I have been involved with Tia Chuchas for quite some time. I partnered with them and took my mentees to some of their events way back when I was working for a nonprofit organization that advocated and worked with girls involved in the juvenile justice system. And this particular organization is owned and run by Luis Rodriguez, and he is the author of Always Running, and it's his autobiographical story of being a gang member and growing up in East Los Angeles, but then transforming his life through literature and poetry. That story was always, and that book was always a favorite of the girls that I worked with who were actually in probation camps and staying there for sometimes up to 2 years. Tia Chuchas is an organization very close to my heart and that I really think does wonderful work. And every year they have an event called Celebrating Words Festival. And this year I wanted to put it on everyone's radar that it is happening on May 20th. Just mark that in your calendars. It usually happens in the San Fernando Valley area, Sylmar area, I believe is where we went last time, but they might change it this year. But I just needed all of you to know that it is going to be May 20th this year. And so put it on your radar. I know Sarah and I went and stuffed ourselves full of food last year. They had lots of cool stuff. They were giving away plants and bags. They did screen art. There were multiple different sections of people giving away books. The cool thing about it last year was they had a whole comic section. So people who were comic creators, they're selling their books to that community. So definitely mark it on your calendar. Go to tiachucha.org for more information. And that name of that organization comes from the fact that Luis's Tia, who went by the nickname Chucha, really helped him in his life. And so this organization, is named after her, and that is TIACHUCHA.org.
All right, guys, it's now time for saludos. And saludos goes out today to Dr. Teresa Rojas, who is the founder of the Latinx Comic Arts Festival. And saludos goes out to this wonderful woman who put this great event together with the help of her board and the help of volunteers to make an amazing event in Modesto, California, trying to bring comic books into the classrooms, into the community. And I think she's doing an amazing job so far. Like I said, this event had the most attendees in all of the previous years. So I feel that this event is going to grow even bigger. And I just want to give her saludos because she just always makes us feel so welcome. And she always provides this amazing space for us to be creative and to tell everybody about our podcast and other creators about their projects. So saludos to Dr. Teresa Rojas. And you can follow the Latinx Comic Arts Festival on Instagram. That's Latinx Comic Arts Fest. That's LATINX COMICARTSFEST. Latinx Comic Arts Fest. Saludos to you. Thank you so much for inviting us to your event, and we look forward to next year. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. Where can they find us, girls?
They can find us as always at comadresycomics.com, where you can find links to all of our social media. You can find our email address. You can contact us at comadresycomics@gmail.com. And don't forget to tune in to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search Comadresy Comics, and you can watch all of the amazing interviews we've done with creators who have amazing books and projects that they've worked on over the years.
Excellent, guys. Well, that has been the end of this episode. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
And that's on Period Network.